Welcome to Pilgrim Talk Radio. I'm Reverend Lee Johnson from St. John's Reformed Church. We are planning a church up here in Omaha. If you go to our webpage, www.stjohnsrcus.com, you can there find out all the information you will need to know to find out when and where we're meeting. And we do hope that you will do that and that you would think about joining us this Sunday. With me, Reverend Darrell Kingswood from Sutton, Nebraska.
Heidi Ho, good neighbor.
And Reverend Ron Morris from Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Howdy.
We have been talking about the subject of prayer for several weeks now, and we are going to just continue through the Lord's Prayer, which brings us to the first request, the first petition in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. So perhaps we ought to first say, what does hallowed be thy name even mean?
Well, hallowed be thy name means, it's old English, but it means hallowed is, although we do, I guess we still use the word hallowed, just not as
hallowed old, halls.
Like hallowed halls, but
sacred
people
place.
Don't use that.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever used hallowed halls, ever.
Yeah, but you're from Tennessee.
That's true. Yeah. Let's not forget that fact.
Yeah. But
and we're talking about people.
Oh.
But other people.
Hallowed ground.
Hallowed ground?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So ground that is distinct, set apart.
Yeah. It's holy.
Sacred.
It's the idea of holy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Holy, set apart, sacred. And so when we're talking about hallowed be thy name, we mean that God's name is to be kept holy. And that is... that's the very first petition, because that is ultimately the most important thing that we can do as believers, is to keep God's name holy. Now, when we talk about a name, we're not talking about you have a baby and you look at it and you say, you know, I think we ought to name this baby
Bob.
Okay, Bob. She's a girl, but...
Roberta.
And, no, stick with Bob. Yeah. I mean, you can spell it backwards, and it's the same thing.
Yeah, that's true.
That's really helpful.
Yeah. I have a daughter named Hannah.
There you go.
And you can spell her name frontwards and backwards. It's the same thing. And that's really not why we did that. But anyway,
back to our topic.
Back to the topic. We didn't name any of our kids Bob. But although we could have, because I have a father-in-law named Bob.
Uh-huh.
And so I could say, well, let's name him Bob because my father-in-law is named Bob.
Mm.
But when we're talking about God's name, we're not talking about just something that we call something. Let's say we're going to call him God because that's something that runs in our family. You know, God is, his character is revealed, who he is revealed in his name. And so when we talk about God's name, we're talking about his character, who he is, his personality, and that in no way, shape, or form do we want God to be maligned. We don't want his name to be maligned. So
you're saying that because God is exalted in his transcendent perfection and being, he is to be treated as the one who is exalted and transcendent in his excellence and being.
Yeah.
Well, he is to be honored and glorified and magnified for who he is as he's revealed himself in his word, ultimately, most fully, in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, absolutely.
Who from all eternity is the begotten Son.
Yeah. That's exactly what
I put that last part in there for my friend Scott Henry to make sure he got on my case, because I said the eternally begotten Son, and he wanted me to say that he'd be begotten from all eternity.
Yeah, well, we all love Scott in here.
We have to.
Yeah, we're, yeah.
Yeah.
Because back to the subject.
We digress again, but yeah. I just wanted Scott to feel the love that we do listen
yes.
to
Scott
what he
best.
Has to
yeah.
say. And we laugh off the air a lot, though, about things he says, don't we?
We do.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, back to the topic. I just wanted to get that in there, that's what we're talking about. When we talk about the name of God, We're talking about who he is.
Yeah.
The sum of, and the substance of his eternal being and character, his perfection and majesty.
Well,
as revealed in everything that he does. Then is that why David, maybe in Psalm 145, says, I will exalt thee, O Lord my God. I will praise your name forever and ever. And then in that psalm he goes on to talk about his wondrous works, his yeah. mighty deeds. The Lord is great. He's greatly to be praised. His greatness transcends, is beyond our comprehension. And so God is worthy to be worshipped, isn't he,
yeah.
Ron? God is worthy to be glorified, isn't he, Ron?
Well, I think that the example, we've just given an example, where for those who don't know, Scott Henry is a fellow pastor that is a friend of all of ours. And he has told us that he listens to these radio broadcasts. And so Scott's probably listening right now.
On sermonaudio.com, which you can find these programs.
Yes. And but we can, because
hey,
we...
Ron and I have a good discussion here. Would you keep
Ron
out of this?
Finish.
All right.
Because we know Scott so well, and because he's such a good friend of ours, we can joke around about Scott and with Scott. If he were here...
And drag his name through the mud.
We could drag his name all across the state of Nebraska. And
but we dare not do that with respect to God.
That's my point. That is my point, is that we can do that with
great
a human being.
Great minds think alike.
We can do that with a human being, but you do not even think about going there when you're talking about God, because that is... We're not, God is not to be trifled with. The name of God is not to be trifled with. And it's not to, you know, and that's the very first petition in the prayer, is that his name would be kept holy, that his name would be hallowed. We can joke around about a lot of things. And in this program, we have a lot of fun joking around about things and things of that nature. But all three of us are in complete agreement that when it comes to God, that the joking stops.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is not joking territory. That is not an area that we bring down to the common level. Because God is God, and there's only one God, and he's above all things, and he is to be glorified and magnified. And if you want to get, I know the three of us who are kind of jokesters by nature, if you want to get us serious, all you got to do is bring up the name of God, and you'll see the three of us get serious in a real quick amount of time.
That's what you're doing right now, aren't you? You got us serious.
Yeah. It worked, didn't it?
It did work. It does work. I mean,
Think about how often the Bible tries to, you know... God, in not only here in the Lord's Prayer, does he make the very first petition, you know, about his name, but it's in the commandments. Not take the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah.
That all throughout the Old Testament, when David hears Goliath blaspheming the armies of God, he knows he's taking, that he's running God's name through the mud, and that's why Goliath has to die. King Hezekiah, the same thing. He takes the thing to the altar, the letter that was sent in by the armies that had surrounded Jerusalem. And he says, look at what they're doing to your name.
Yeah.
They're comparing you to those false gods that the people have already been destroyed. And the Lord takes vengeance. He sends his angel of death. Yeah. And he wipes them out. It's a serious thing. And it is to be the very beginning of what we request in prayer.
Yeah.
Not about ourselves, but about God and his holy name.
I'm just thinking about a passage of scripture I've read a number of times before over the air. But it's from... Book of Isaiah, Isaiah 48, and verse 9, 10, and 11, where God, of course, in this chapter is talking about how he's refining Israel, but he's doing it for his glory. And then he explains, for my name's sake, I will defer my anger, and for my praise, I will restrain it from you, so that I do not cut you off. Behold, I've refined you, but not as silver. I've tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, for my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned, and I will not give my glory to another? Well, there's God's jealousy for his own name, to uphold his honor, his glory, that his name is not to be blasphemed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why David talks about how, I'll extol you, my God, O King, I'll bless your name forever and ever. And then he says, I'll praise your name forever and ever. Take the name of the Lord upon our lips. We know he is high and exalted.
Yeah,
he's holy.
It's all about exalting.
He's transcendent. who are we going to compare to him? And that's why we're sticking with the catechism here. Talks about hallowing, magnifying, praising thee. This is about who God is.
Yeah.
In his unfathomable, unsearchable majesty. We cannot climb the heights. We cannot begin to measure the width. We cannot begin to plumb the depths. We are over our heads. He is great. He is greatly to be praised. And it's unsearchable.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond our understanding. And this is what the Catechism is instructing us. And this is what Jesus is saying to us. These God-centered prayers are to be reverent. We can trust God in light of who he is. And we're to revere him. That's why much of our modern-day worship, it's so trivial. It's so light. It's lacking in fear and trembling, reverence and awe, because God is absent mm-hmm. in much of our worship.
Yeah.
We're not exalting his name. We're not praising him. We're not coming in and saying we want to see the glory of God's power, the glory of God's goodness, the glory of his justice, the glory of his mercy and truth shine forth in all his works. We want to see it. We want to behold it, and we want to pay due reverence to God and ascribe to him the glory that he's worthy to receive. That's the struggle of prayer, because by nature, we're about our own glory.
Mm-hmm.
We're about our own name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, our brother Scott Henry, you know, he can handle a little bit of ribbing, right?
Oh, yeah.
But if I started really to trash his name right now, I mean seriously,
then I'd
be getting an email from him. I might be getting a personal visitation from him.
Yeah.
Right? And he'd be coming down. Mr. Clean would be coming down on me.
Yeah.
You know, and calling me up on it, calling me on the carpet.
And rightfully so.
Rightfully so. Because if I started trashing Ron's name, bringing Ron's reputation in disrepute, started to talking about how, you know, in a bad way about him.
Yeah.
That was false. That was a lie. That was untrue. You know, and it was degrading. And that's a lot of times the way we talk about God.
Yeah.
Our official theology, a lot of people official theology is that, and it's totally dishonoring to the Lord. It causes others to blaspheme him. And yeah. That's what we want to be very careful about.
I know we're quickly out of
time. All right, I'll leave the last 3 seconds to you, Ron.
Well, I just want to say, if you can offend me by mistreating my name, how much more can God be offended? Who is sinless in it, who is way above all things.
We'll talk more about this after the break. Welcome back to Pilgrim Talk Radio. We're in the middle of talking about the Lord's Prayer and about hallowed be thy name. And Reverend Kingswood had something he would like to read.
Well, it's just something from the article that I've referenced in the last couple of episodes, broadcasts. Whatever we call these things.
Yeah.
The article that was in Table Talk magazine, I think before I said April of this year, on prayer by Derek Thomas. The opening statement is authentic prayer, God-centered prayer, realizes that the promise of prayer is God himself. That's honoring to him. That's the idea. That statement is, that hallows God's name, doesn't it? That magnifies and praises God by acknowledging that authentic prayer, God-centered prayer, realizes that the promise of prayer is God himself. Being in the presence of God is the greatest reward of prayer. That's honoring
mm-hmm.
to him. There's nothing that I could, you know, would honor you more, Ron, than I said, Ron, you know what? One of the most important things to me, one of the most meaningful things to me in my life is getting to spend time with you.
I would be very touched.
Yeah. It's just to be in the same room, to spend time and to have a friendship together, to have a union and community together, and to talk together and have a, you know, a friendship. That you'd feel honored, right?
Sure.
And that's the idea here. Derek Thompson goes on. He says, it's easy to be critical of prayer, particularly the prayers of others. Robert Murray McShane's words are often cited because they remain painfully true. Quote, you wish to humble a man? Ask him about his prayer life. Our prayers reveal much about us. Prayers with little or no worship and focusing on our needs, usually health, reveal a distorted, Adamic bent, what they reveal is self-centeredness, what Martin Luther labeled man curved in on himself. Listen to prayers at the church prayer meeting, if one still exists. You will discover that the majority of prayers are organ recitals. Prayers for someone's liver, prayers for someone's kidney, prayer for someone's heart. Not that we shouldn't pray for medical issues, but a preoccupation with health is often itself a reflection of how little we understand why it is we desire good health. We desire it so that the person we are praying for lives for Jesus Christ. And then he writes, prayer is talking to God. Sometimes, perhaps too often, the talk is all about us. We've all had those annoying conversations that have been entirely one-sided, showing little or no interest in us. It's all about them, their interests, their desires, their needs, their complaints. Prayer can get like that. We pour out our woes, become totally self-absorbed, and show no interest in dialogue that involves listening to what God has to say. And in that way, his name isn't honored. We just bring, as I've been saying in these last three shows, we just bring our claustrophobic self, that claustrophobic kingdom of one, and all our concerns, self-defined, of course.
Mm-hmm.
All of our needs, all of our wants, and we have little or no concern. We have to take little or no time to think about what we are doing and whose presence we are coming into. And we just rush into it with our shopping list or our demands, and we don't take the time to rightly acknowledge God and say, when all is said and done, the only thing that really matters, the only thing that is really important in all of life is hallowed be thy name. May your name be rightly known, and may your name be hallowed, magnified, and praised. May you be exalted. That is what it's all about. Exalted, whether I survive this cancer or whether it takes me home to be with you. Mm-hmm. After all, to die is gain.
Yeah.
Absent from the body, presence with the Lord. That's honoring. Honoring God for his word. This is what he says is true. And that really, in prayer, that aspect of worship is often lost. I mean, as a pastor,
mm-hmm.
people get upset when, oh, you didn't pray for this thing and you didn't pray for that thing. I've never had anybody come up to me and say, Pastor, please, could you focus more and more on the name of the Lord in our prayers?
Yeah.
Could you focus more and more on the glory and the majesty of God? Just exalt and magnify the Lord in prayer and then say, oh yeah, P.S.
Yeah.
We know you care for us. Take care of our needs. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Right?
Easily. Yeah, that's for sure.
No, the long list of our demands of the Lord, and we're always telling him, we think we know, this is what should happen here, or this is what should happen here, and we're not submissive to the will of the Lord and saying, hallowed be thy name, in the midst of that person's heartache and loss right now.
Mm-hmm.
Work in a manner that, in the midst of it, they're able to exalt and magnify, rest and trust in you, and suffer in such a way, sanctified in that suffering, that your name is honored and glorified. How many times do we hear that prayer wrong from the pulpits?
Not very often.
We don't, right?
You know, we've all had those moments where we have those, you know, you might call it a eureka moment, you know, or a forehead slapping moment, where you kind of say, I never really thought about that before, and I had that experience with Psalm 23, and we've talked about this before, but Psalm 23, you know, I've read that psalm all my life. I was raised in a Christian home. It was probably one of the first psalms I ever memorized. But one day, it dawned on me, I think somebody told me this, pointed it out to me, that Psalm 23 says, to lead me in the path of righteousness for thy name's sake. And that just blew me away. I thought, because usually we think of, you know, lead me in the path of righteousness, O Lord, for me.
Right.
Lead me in the path of righteousness so that I'll be a better person and so that I'll be a better Christian and
That's all self-centered.
It's all self-centered.
Yeah.
But that's not what it says. Lead me in the path of righteousness for thy namesake. So even my sanctification, even my growth in grace, is all to magnify the name
exactly.
of the Lord. We're talking about the first petition is hallowed be thy name, and that's the main thing in our life is to hallow the name of God. And we can do that in our prayer, and we do that in our daily lives when we are led by the path of righteousness. We should glorify God. We should glorify God in the way that we conduct ourselves. We should glorify God, the name of God, in the way we do business. We should glorify God in the way that we, in the conversations that we have, and everything. Everything should hallowed be thy name. In everything.
Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all
to the glory
of
God.
Glory of God. In the name of Christ Jesus. I was thinking about when you were talking there about Psalm 46, a psalm that begins by saying, God is our refuge, God is our strength, a very present help in trouble, therefore we will not fear. The refrain is, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Throughout that, the psalmist talks about war, and the tumult of war. That's the world turned upside down when a war is being fought, right? He talks about even the fact of the mountains being carried into the midst of the sea, and this poetic imagery of life turned upside down on its head. And in the midst of that, what are we to do? What's that issue? We're to be still. We're to know that God is God. And in the midst of all of this, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And in that, our soul finds rest.
Hmm.
Right? Because His glory is our good. And He gets the glory, and we find the blessing in that. That's what our hearts desire. Be thou exalted, O Lord, not unto us, O Lord, but to your name be glory given.
Yeah.
And that becomes the cry of the regenerate heart. That's why Jesus taught us to pray.
Mm-hmm.
He's turning the world upside down. You live for your glory. You remember the disciples? Jesus, is it in Mark chapter 9? He just finishes talking about the necessity of his death on the cross. And boom, the disciples are arguing over who's the greatest in the kingdom.
They're
arguing about who gets the most glory.
Right.
Who's going to be exalted the most? Who's going to receive the most honor?
Yeah.
Right? And here Jesus says, there's your natural way. You're worried about who's the greatest. I'll tell you who the greatest is. You want to learn prayer? You want to know how to pray?
Yeah.
You pray that God's name be hallowed.
Yeah.
That is contrary. That goes back to what I said about denying ourselves, take up our cross, and following Jesus.
Yeah.
Because we live for our own kingdoms.
We don't hear nearly as much today, I think, as we need to, about this concept of dying to self. I think that is such a foreign concept to so many Christians today, this idea that I must decrease and He must increase, and that I need to, it's not my will, but Thy will be done.
Well, let me read this, what I wrote down here.
Okay.
I was just talking about, sin makes me want to write my own little story, right? With me as the star.
Yeah.
And to have God endorse it. That's what we're dealing with. Then I wrote down, here's my motto for life. I love God and have a wonderful plan for Him in my life.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
And that's the way it is. Sin always has us at the center. Sin comes, causes each of us to be frighteningly self-focused. And that's because the sales pitch of the serpent in the garden was, you can have it your own way. All you need to do is this. And what was it? To seek independent glory,
mm-hmm.
right? Glory apart from the glory of God. Our own glory. We can have it our own way. We can decide. We can be autonomous and self-sufficient. And we can live for ourselves, Ron. Are you in it with me? Come on, Ron. Are you in it with me?
Amen, brother.
Right. We're in this together, remember?
Oh.
Right? And ultimately, when the chips are down, we're not in it together. I'm in it for me, Ron. I'm just using you.
Yeah.
For my purposes. That's the essence of sin. And so it gets back to that concept of dying to that pursuit of our own glory.
Yeah. And the Lord uses the analogy of a seed, that a seed falls to the ground and has to die, in a sense.
Right. John chapter 12.
Yeah. And then it will grow and it will produce much fruit. If I really, see, I want to die. I mean, I need to die. And then the Lord will bring forth much fruit out of my life, not for me, but what does that one corn kernel do? It goes and it produces food for others. And so the goal is that I die, that my life can bear fruit, multiple fruit, not for myself, but for others in the church.
Yeah, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Yeah.
And you think of that prayer, you're talking like that. I'm thinking of Paul's prayer in Philippians, where he's praying for their love to abound still more and more in all knowledge and discernment, that they'd be able to approve the things that are excellent, in order that they may be sincere, they might be without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
Yeah, amen.
And that's what we're talking about. And that's prayer. There's Paul's prayer. And even in Ephesians 3, the prayer where to strengthen with might through the Spirit in inner man, Christ dwelling in the hearts through faith, filled with all the fullness of God, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we're able to ask, or even think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church through Christ Jesus forever and ever. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about prayer. We're talking about the Christian life. We're talking about God's will for us in Christ Jesus. He redeems us. He rescues us from the white-knuckle grip we've got on our own lives, on ourselves, and says, you're free now to live for something bigger than you.
Amen.
Yep. And that's one of the reasons that I think that going through and talking about prayer is important, because this is where our theology is seen most readily.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about, you read the quote at any rate about from Robert Murray McChain about humbling a man by talking about his prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is where his theology comes out. Mm-hmm. John Owen has a quote where he says, if you want to know more about a man, it's not his writings, it's his prayers.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And that is a problem you talked about, Ron, about dying to self, and it's not hurt. And it's not hurt in our prayers.
Exactly.
That's why it's not hurt in our pulpits.
Exactly.
And that's why we have such trouble. In the world today.
Yeah, well, that was just a suggestion Jesus made.
But we're going to talk about prayer more next time. We hope you'll join us there. And let me encourage you and challenge you before next week, pick up your Bible and read some of the prayers in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And start to model your prayers
exactly. After
those. We will be back next week at the same time. You're listening to 660 KCRO.